And then that alien comes out, and then another alien ship lands, and then that alien turns into a giant bird and eats the other alien. Like, oh, fuck, I guess we go to school.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. My name's Morgan, and this is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and the very last episode of that television series and just try and figure out why they made it and what happened. Joining me to do this is my friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Well.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, this is nice. It's good. We should do this again.
I mean, I feel like I see you all the time, but yeah, it's still good.
It's still good. It's always nice. Scott. How are you? You're also joining us.
I'm very well. Jimmy's also joining us for...
episode two. Jimmy's here.
And two episodes.
He's making himself feel...
Episode two of the Destination Podcast.
Destination Podcast.
When Aaron's away, we...
We get out and about.
We roam around.
We really do. We're still in the same location as the last episode. Very disgruntled, Jimmy.
I know. Jimmy, come on. Come on.
Come on. Pal.
Come on, Jimmy.
Hey, it's okay. There's nobody outside. Those possums, don't let them bother you.
If only I could touch the top of his head and turn into a dog myself.
Oh. Would you like to do that?
No. Sounds awful.
Okay, but would you like to talk about a show where they do that?
Animorphs.
Yes, Animorphs.
Animorphs. Probably, I think it was a popular book series, teen fiction. Became a very short-lived TV series.
I think very popular.
For good reason.
I think there's a lot of books. From memory.
I think you're right.
I haven't read any of them.
I remember when I was in primary school, one of my friends had like a lot of the Animorphs books. Mm. And they all had the same cover of some child morphing into some animal.
Halfway through becoming a marsupial.
A dugong or something.
A dugong.
Yeah.
That'd be a difficult one to track down. Because you have to... The listeners may not know about this, but in order to anamorph into an animal, you need to touch it.
You do.
Or you need to have some sort of physical contact with it. And it's the last animal that you've had contact with is the one that you can anamorph into.
I think you can go to down to the Everglades in Florida and sort of swim with the manatees. So.
Sorry, the Everglades
and the manatees? No, the Keys.
Sorry, the Keys.
I was going to say, I think you're thinking the Everglades, you're thinking the Gators. Yeah. Mm. 54 books.
54.
Wow. 54 books.
That's probably more episodes than they had.
And 10 companion books. What's a companion book? That was something that was unfamiliar
to me.
Is that
like also called Animorphs or something else?
No. I just was
You're right, Morgan. They had 26 episodes, so...
26 episodes to 54 books?
Books blew the show out of the water.
Oh, wow, yeah. Mm. Not surprising. Because I watched the show, as you guys did as well, as per the sort of...
I didn't watch the show.
So you're just kind of coming in cold?
Yeah.
Scott read the first book and the last book.
I've got a lot of opinions, I'll tell you what.
About the books?
Yeah, just about anything, really.
Okay, good.
Look, yeah, you're right. I know where you're going, Morgs. If it weren't for Marco, I'd struggle to get through it.
What? Why did you think that's where I was going?
I assume that's where we're all going. Marco was the only saving grace.
Big fans of Marco.
Animorphs is the show.
Yes, Animorphs.
What did you guys know about the show previously?
Well, as you alluded to, the books. I remember the books really well in primary school. Everyone was reading Animorphs books.
You get those Scholastic magazines where you get to like the mail order book service.
Mm.
And that was one of those cool books. Where you got like some sort of like periphery toy companion book maybe. They had some extra shit with it and it was like one of those more expensive packages.
Mm. Yeah.
No one wanted to buy like the boring novels and the Scholastic.
No way.
No.
You just crack them out for your MS Readathon.
Yeah. Boom. Mm.
Smash through 56 of them.
Get yourself
so many pages. Get a gold star. Get a
gold star. One of those like rubber wrist bands. That was probably before. You're like a skipping rope. No, I was jump rope for heart.
Yeah,
I'm confusing my telethons.
You are. You're getting a little. My thons.
Mm. Mm. Not technically telethons.
I do remember this show coming out though. I do remember it being on ABC Kids. And,
well, we were like the prime target for the show just as it was coming out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, very early 2000s. Yeah, it was
2000 to 2002 was the run.
Just a bunch of prepubescent wieners looking for some.
Why did you phrase it like that?
We should note that this is the shortest run show that we've done.
You don't think you're a prepubescent wiener? Tough guy? Cool guy?
Huh? No, I'm just
trying to act tough in front of the audience.
It's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Anyway, shorter show.
I don't think we've done a two-season show before.
No,
I'm struggling to think of one.
And
Baywatch Nights was two seasons.
Oh, okay. But it would have had less episodes than this, maybe. 26. That's so low.
That's not a lot. No.
The second season of this was hardly a season as well. It was like
8 episodes. The first one was like 13, 14.
Barely anything.
Which is weird. Like, why even bother making the second season?
Yeah.
Like, if you're only going to give it like 8 episodes, it clearly wasn't that popular.
Which seems strange because like I have a dedicated slot in my memory to remember this show.
Baywatch Nights.
It seems bizarre that it didn't. It wasn't better than
Baywatch Nights. 44 episodes.
Yeah. Okay. That's much more respectable.
But I think the reason that it's sort of etched into our brains is because the books were popular when we were the right age for this.
Yep.
And the TV show sort of came out off the back of that. And
yeah.
And it has a very catchy theme song.
Yeah.
Hmm. I gotta admit that that opening of episode one, the intro where they went to the credits and had that like, you know, soft rock song, which we see.
It's all in your head. It's all in your
head. That really sung to my youth. Sung to it. Not that I really remember watching this show because I wasn't into the books. I just remember them being very prevalent at that time.
Me neither. I remember seeing the covers, but I just watched the show.
I think I'm sure that, like, you know, ABC at like 5:30. Like, you know how the more mature youth shows were on
at 5:30,
between 5:30 and 6.
Yeah,
I think this was one of them for a short period of my life, and I'm sure I just absorbed some of the episodes without ever really thinking twice about it.
Yeah, right. It was just in the lineup, the afternoon lineup.
What I did find interesting was
how much their bones cracked when they were morphing into the animals.
Well, that was weird. That was definitely weird. That must have been a book thing. But
even the characters commented on it.
That was harsh.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It's like it's not the feeling that gets me; it's the sound.
And yeah. Just why
really
include it?
Me.
I don't quite understand.
I'm glad they sort of ironed that out by the last episode.
Mm.
So much bone crunching.
I was intrigued by cast was interesting because they had some. I'm not going to say heavy hitters because that's completely wrong, but they had some
hitters.
They had actors that went on to have some careers.
Actors that were technically actors.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, no, Sean.
In that they could act.
Well, Sean Ashmore, who played Jake, you know, he was in. Oh, he's an X-Men, one of the X-Men.
And yeah, true, true.
All those.
Ah, the younger, the flame the younger one.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Or the ice guy, or the flame guy.
The first X-Men.
Yeah,
is he the one with the frost or the
frost? Yeah, because he was the one that had the sort of thing with Anna Paquin with the
blonde
streaking hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, him, and they had Brooke Nevin as well, who's in. She's just in TV shows, but she's in this show I watched once.
She's the cousin.
She's the cousin. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in this TV show I watched ages ago, really randomly with a friend because we were running.
Called Animorphs?
No, it wasn't called Animorphs. It was called Call Me Fitz and it was this show with Jason Priestley.
Okay.
And it's about a used car salesman, and he's in an accident, and he starts imagining this. He imagines that his conscience becomes a person. Starts following him around, and she's in this show. It's really weird.
Hmm.
It was really entertaining.
Interesting.
I will say that. First season was great. But anyway, Paulo Costanza, who's people would know from Road Trip, and he's in The Night Of.
Yes,
that was him.
Jez and I were talking about this.
Yeah. He's in a bunch of stuff.
From Road Trip.
Yeah. Ah. He's just a character actor in a bunch of stuff now.
He's definitely got his shtick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got it down.
It appears he looks like he got his start in Animorphs. So.
It's doing something for someone.
But I tell you what, you could have made this TV show for like $100. It was just really not a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crack out the camcorder.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Big time. But look, we let's not get too far into it without at least summarizing episode one.
Animorphs begins with five teenagers, Jake, Tobias, Marco, Cassie, and Rachel, happening upon a crashed alien spaceship containing an injured alien named El Fangor.
It's going to be okay. Cassie knows a lot about animals.
We didn't insult the guy, Reach.
Through telepathy, he tells the group that he is an Andalite, and another alien race, the Yerks, are after him.
They can be anyone. Your family, your friends. Earth is their next target.
He's severely injured, but manages to gift them, through a magical cube, the power to morph into any animal they touch. Shortly after, a Yerk appears and transforms into a gigantic eagle beast and devours El Fangor. five begin to figure out their powers and discover their principal is under the Yerk's control. And after a few near misses, the episode ends with a redundant voiceover, not quite sure of its own irony.
My name is Jake, but I guess that doesn't matter anymore.
Hey, you're still
not great. Five normal kids against an army of ruthless alien slugs. Those Yerks don't know what they're in for.
I'm going to jump straight in. What was the name of the alien again?
It was Elfangor.
Elfangor.
You know, that's actually a perfect anagram for a character from The Toast of London, Clem Fandango.
Oh, no way.
It's actually not a perfect anagram, but it is.
It's close enough.
Stephen, can you hear me?
Hi, Stephen.
Yes?
This is Clem Fandango.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
But as soon as I heard that name, I literally wrote down in my notes, Clem Fandango. Stephen, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
For those listening to this episode, spoiler alert, we're probably not going to recommend this show at the end. But Toast of London.
Get around Toast of London.
Yeah, get around. You should definitely do
it. Netflix.
You like Matthew Berry? You'll like Toast of London.
$12.95 a month.
Exactly. You like Matthew Berry? Not going to be a big fan of Animorphs.
Mm.
So, he wasn't in any of the episodes we watched.
He wasn't. No, he's not. But he's probably in there somewhere.
It could have happened. Mm. Yeah. Can we talk about how much money they would have spent on creating... Elfango?
You mean Clem Fandango?
Clem Fandango.
Elfango.
Elfango.
Clem Fandango.
Because clearly it's just like a bit of like a sort of like silicone mask sort of thing, and then a horse's legs painted blue.
I don't know whether the books were just really lazy in writing or whether or not it's actually just that bad, or they just really didn't spend any money. Or maybe they're trying to make the monster not look too scary.
I don't think it's that they were holding back on spending money. I think it's just they didn't have the money to spend. There's a difference.
Well, granted, but
like,
still.
Oh, look, we've got a huge budget, but let's spend it on really nailing the actor for Marco.
All right. Do you want to talk about Marco?
I feel like you want to talk about Marco. You clearly want to. I have it written down that he's the worst of all of them.
What is this?
I don't know, but it's definitely not from my hood.
He is.
When you say worst, what do you mean?
Well, he's the comic relief, I guess. He's kind of like the beater of the group with... Like he's Hispanic, he's Latino, whatever you want to call him.
My description is Billy Donovan Jr.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But he's got like this really terrible hair where he's got like an undercut, but the top of it's really slicked against his like head.
He's going for a very specific look.
Yeah. And then he's like ultra baggy clothes.
Yeah.
And he really, really rocks that orange jacket.
There's a scene in the first episode where he's like, hey, apparently his mum's just passed away or something. I don't know.
Mm.
Poor Marco, you know.
You're really sympathizing with Marco, aren't you?
But him and his dad are watching some bullshit, I don't know. And he's like, Dad, I'm gonna go out with the gang.
I'll be back.
Oh, where are you going?
I mean, the guys are doing kind of a scavenger hunt.
Really, Marco?
You're 16.
Go do something cool.
What, are you on the Boy Scouts?
I don't know, you're a fucking scavenger hunt or like a sneaking out at night to go on scavenger hunt. Damn it, Marco. I mean, granted, he's going out to turn into a rat, but...
He's got to say something.
That's the other thing. They all get these powers to turn into animals, and you know, you pick something decent. Like one of the girls, I don't know their names. I didn't choose to
Rachel,
learn them.
Who's the blonde girl?
Yeah, she turns into a cat. I'm like, hey, cat. You know, fair enough.
Useful.
Turns into a rat. Of all the animals he could choose, first of all, he's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to use this power. As if. As a 15-year-old, you were granted a power to turn into animals. You'd be like, nah, not for me.
No.
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go back to scavenger hunts and watching shit TV shows with my dad. Wearing baggy clothes, playing some terrible video game that makes you just pump 20-cent pieces into it.
Well, all right. I'm going to present a counterpoint just purely on the Marco perspective, which is I think that Marco is the only reasonable person in this show.
Okay.
He's the only one showing any restraint. When Elfangor, like the ship crash lands, and then they're all like, oh my god, we've got to go up and help it. We've got to go, like, get it. He's like,
what if it's, like, radioactive or something?
Oh, please.
That's a fair point.
Fair point. Yeah. He brings up so many good points in the show that are like,
you're right,
normal people would be saying this, and they're like, nah, fucking Mark. Like, ah, oh, I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, let's not get involved. Nah, we have to.
We have to. Like, no. No, you don't. This isn't your responsibility. You're 16. You've got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You're right.
I
do have written here that everyone is so casual about the stakes. They just saw a horseman turn into some kind of bird person and eat another horseman.
Yeah.
I wrote that down, and everyone's pretty casual about the bird thing eating the half horse man.
First of all,
pretty fucked up shit.
The very fact that they go to school the next day—that's
what I mean. Presumably, first ever human encounter with aliens.
And they then
that alien comes out, and then another alien ship lands, and then that alien turns into a giant bird and eats the other alien. Like, oh fuck, I guess we go to school.
But they are very casual about this.
You're right.
Don't miss geography.
But this always happens with these TV shows. Everyone's like, everyone assumes hero
status. They should
be
in a padded room, just like
it's a fucked up shit.
Like, sort of cradling their knees, rocking back and forth, just sort of muttering.
Can you imagine the anxiety?
Oh, thank God, over and over again.
Clem Fandango.
Their brain should be mush after experiencing that much in one night.
Exactly. No, but only that, like, the power. I'm giving you these powers where you can turn into any sort of animal you want.
Mm.
Okay, now you can go fight the brain slugs. Good luck. How is me turning into a fucking cat going to really help here?
Mm.
And we're in one town. It's really
ridiculous. I'm 16. I've got no tools, to equip myself with which to face this global force.
But, just let me go play video games and jerk off.
Yeah.
I know it's a kid's show.
Like a normal 16-year-old, goddammit.
I know it's a kid's show and we shouldn't get into it. We shouldn't attack it too much, but we're going to anyway. So
yeah,
while the iron's really hot, they just, shows like this, teen dramas and kid shows, like, not like, when I say teen dramas, not so much your Dawson's Creeks and what have you, your Nickelodeon style between 12 to 15 or 12 to 14 range.
Yeah.
They just don't create any depth for any sort of character.
No.
Like, no depth. They have no layers, nothing. And it's like the main characters don't. The periphery characters have even less.
Mm.
So the lead bad guy on Earth, who's the lead, the leader of the brain slug people, the controllers, the controllers. It's the principal from the school.
It's centralized to their existence.
The high school.
Yeah. As if, why would an alien want to invade and start with some sort of
Midwestern
no name Midwest US high school.
High school? Yeah.
I'm going to take the principal first. Real decision makers are really going to. We take over this school.
And even the explanations are insane.
Achilles heel.
The rest of them will fall into place.
When Principal Chapman goes to inspect the crash site, he goes, "Am I the only one seeing these hoof prints here?"
Well, somebody fill it in before it makes the front page.
The news would come and see hoof prints. They would assume a horse, maybe a cow.
Yeah,
not an alien.
No,
alien hoof prints.
Yeah.
Maybe the alien fact that like a sort of a spaceship was on fire and flying through the sky, crashing into a whole bunch of shit.
How did nobody else see that?
Would have alerted people. Not the hoof prints.
No, the hoof prints is what's going to get in the news.
In the middle of a field. Yeah, ridiculous. Can we talk about, this is just a structural thing. The show opens with a bit of static. And then our main character, leader kid, Jake, sort of...
My name's Jake.
Narrating to us.
If you're watching this, it's like a bit of a vlog before vlog sort of thing.
But he essentially goes on to explain the first 15 minutes of the show, and then we see it happen.
Yeah, it's kind of irrelevant. Yeah.
Why?
It makes the whole first episode very redundant.
Yeah. Because he could have just said it. For a second, I was like, have I misremembered this? Is this the show? Does he just talk about it?
You just have to trust me that what I'm talking about is real. This is a real place, a real town. It may even be your town.
But only that, why not, if that's how they're going to do it, why not have him narrate that vlog happened throughout the show?
Yeah.
Not just split at the start up. And then you show what he talks about. So there's no surprises. It's very weird.
He gave away the whole reveal about how they get, Elfangor gives them the power to morph into animals, how they've got to protect against the Yurks. I didn't really think about that at the time.
They just kind of spoil their own show.
It's like they made
the show and then...
They're like, oh, this doesn't make any sense.
I think,
and then went back and recorded that bit.
Maybe it exists purely because they assume that anyone who's watching it must have read the books already. Like, they don't have an audience outside of that. So,
right, okay,
they already know what's going to happen. So they might as well sort of have, but it still doesn't
drag it out.
Really serve any sort of narrative purpose to have someone. No. tell you the plot of the episode and then have the episode play.
Yeah, it's just far better just, you know, just seeing what happens.
And we also should point out that this is a two-parter first episode.
Very redundant two-parter.
Well, the second part really...
hardly linked at all.
No, barely. I mean, the first is basically you could have done... The first one goes for 27 minutes and you could have done it in five, a tight five.
Yeah, because the first five is them at like an arcade sort of fucking around with some video game.
Sort of introducing... different characters.
They're all in the one room, and then like the dog comes in, and then the dog runs off. They chase the dog.
The most promising actor of all of them is, without question, Homer the dog. His directions were excellent.
Delivers.
He does. Yeah. Nails it.
Can I say who the opposite of that is?
Marco.
Tobias.
Very.
This actor is like Keanu Reeves light.
How do you know my name?
I actually have that written down. He's like one of Keanu Reeves' love children that's just out there. That he's
a blank slate for you to project yourself onto.
Yeah.
If you're a dark brooding leather jacket wearing
teen,
15 outcast.
Year old, yeah. He's new in town. He's got no family. Lives on his own. He's 15 because that makes sense. Why is he new in town? Why does he have no family?
Spoiler alert: he does have family.
We'll get to that later.
Does he?
Get to that later.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, his family's
the aliens. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, we'll get to that later.
Some sort of blue alien centaur.
Yeah. Tobias!
nothing like a blue alien centaur.
I'll
get to that.
I do remember, though, there's one thing I distinctly remember. It didn't happen in the episodes we saw, but doesn't Tobias turn into a falcon and he can't turn back? Yeah, he can't turn back.
That's what I always remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like a big thing.
He was like the shittest one of the Animorphs. He couldn't. Wrangle his powers. I thought that happened very early on as well.
Would it have been cheaper to have Keanu Reeves light or the Falcon?
The Falcon.
Cheaper to have the Falcon?
Maybe not, because you've got to pay for like a Falconeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Falconer, sorry.
I mean, how many situations do you need it to get?
I said Falconeer.
Well, yeah, but Falcon, that has a title?
A Falconer.
Yeah, really?
Someone who wears like one of those gloves and has like the little hood.
Like a Falconer's glove.
I love the Falcon hood.
Yeah, a little hood. Yeah.
Falconer's glove, so it would be a falconer.
But you don't have to pay kids shit. That's the whole point of child labor. So surely having the young Tobias is cheaper than having someone who's a professional falconer.
So you reckon they went off book? Forgive the pun. They went off book and rode him back in because it was cheaper to have Tobias rather than the Falcon?
I think so.
Yeah.
Talking about ages, though, we do come across a lot of shows where the actors do not seem to be the correct ages for the characters that they're playing. This one, not so bad.
Yeah, no, Marco's the only one who's maybe a little bit older.
I don't know, I think he's actually like almost younger than the rest of them.
Yeah,
I think he's like 18 or 19.
They're
all probably around
18. You have a very skewed idea of what Marco is compared to what Scott and I have.
I think that
we've got the more grounded sense. I don't know where you've come in hot.
You've come loose somewhere.
Yeah. It was the hair. The hair. Just, yeah. I saw the hair.
I'm distracted.
It's just my vision went white with rage.
It's a problem. I did say pre deciding on this show, you guys got a railroad of me with this because I don't like these weird, obscure.
I feel like you don't like kids' shows in general.
No, I do because I'm a big Adventure Time fan, but I don't. I wasn't
arguably not a kid show.
Fair call.
Very different from Animorphs.
Very different. it is. This is very. I wasn't big on us doing this. I said I was gonna phone it in, but I put the effort in. I watched the show.
Definitely watched it.
Granted, I watched the last one on 1.5 speed because it was very difficult to get through. May have even cranked it up to double speed in the last 10 minutes because I was really pushing to get it done.
You're not meant to reveal that to the listeners, Morgs.
I'm glad we went back and watched it because it did sing back to all the teen dramas I watched, and just that it's a really specific target audience, Animorphs. It's like 10 to 14 is the age range.
Yep,
and it's so specific. And that's what I was alluding.
But
to
I remember getting like hooked on this. I remember really wanting to see it.
But I remember watching. I remember a lot of shows.
I don't remember that much.
Probably because you would have been about 10 to 14.
They nailed it.
But the stakes seem really high in terms of what's going on in the background. What's going on? The main thing is like slug aliens are taking over people's brains and trying to take over the world. Mm. And these teens again are fooling, you know, adults with just the most menial things. But
yeah,
the stakes are high, but they're still very low. They're still low enough for them to go to school and things at school to be, you know, still quite trivial.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems, it's just insane. Like,
it is hard to reconcile that. The, like, you know, the fate of the world is in your hands, but also we've got to go to the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff yeah. like that.
Let's
yeah.
go to the mall and go shopping.
Yeah.
But also, maybe we should combat these like sort of parasitic alien slugs that are trying to enslave the human race.
Yeah. And one of them
and
is
we're
our
the
principal.
Only people that know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's that sort of they're trying to relate to their audience yeah. in yeah. that like obviously, yeah. yeah. They're not gonna be dealing with anything
they wanna,
with
they
as
wanna,
much gravitas. So
yeah, but they wanna be, you know, you want to appeal to the teen. It's like, oh, why don't people respect me? You know, I'm important, I can change the world. But also I only want to do it for like 10 minutes.
Why do it for over 2 hours? Yeah. That's for sure.
Exactly.
They want to go back to... Exactly. That's why they put the 2 hour fucking limit on there. You can only save the world for 2 hours at a time and then you got to go back to being a teen. So, I mean, we haven't even talked about the last episode yet, but the best thing about this show is the book covers.
Oh, the morphing?
The book covers, yeah. Yeah.
Anything covers I think with morphing... is that's, what's wonderful about this.
That's the one element of this.
That's what people want. They want to see.
This intellectual property that has sort of stood the test of time. stood the test of time in better
I was really wondering why you said stood the test of time. I don't see Animorphs around that often. It was... Like I remember prevailing... it was everywhere back in the day.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Anyway, yeah. Like the prevailing element of the show is the terrible book covers with the CGI kids morphing into random
yeah
shitty
which,
zoo animals.
Can I say, I think it works better...
For example.
It works better on the book covers than it does in the show.
Definitely.
There's a lot of weird
and a lot less,
sizing issues in the show.
And a lot less
where it's like,
crunching.
Is this guy's face like a human face, like a falcon face, but the size of a human head? Well, like, what's going on
well
here?
Well, that... Going that way, but the other thing is, how does a 14-year-old girl turn into a horse? Where's that extra mass come from? Like, what your average 14-year-old girl probably weighs like 42 kilos?
Maybe.
Average horse weighs 200 to 300.
Well, I mean,
where's
it
come from?
It just generates.
Where's it come from, Scott?
I don't know.
Ask Clem Fandango.
I don't know. Like, how does a 60-kilogram 14-year-old boy morph into a, I don't know, 700-gram rat?
Well, most of his weight is in his hair gel, so...
Oh, okay. Well, it just drips out.
And he's, you know, ridiculously baggy clothes. If you de-robed and de-gelled Marco...
If you strip all that out...
He'd weigh 700 grams. Have we actually... I don't think we've actually talked about much of the plot points of this episode.
I mean, the plot's pretty basic, right? Like, there's Yerks who are coming to invade the Earth.
The plot is as thin as the pages of the books.
And the front covers of that paper.
And the frame
don't
of
you,
frame
we're
of
here to
Marco.
Knock the front covers.
Oh,
the front covers.
I apologize. I want to we should probably move on to the next episode, but my favorite part, I think, of both episodes, there's a lot of good morphing scenes, but I think the first one's called My Name is Jake, and at the end he's like, my name is Jake, but I guess it doesn't really matter anymore. That really bothered me because I'm like, well, it does matter you're narrating it. It's your story and you're central to the whole thing. So yeah, it's very important your name is Jake.
It's so self-deprecating, like unnecessarily so.
My name is Jake, but it doesn't really matter anymore.
It doesn't matter anymore.
You gotta save the world.
What? And I'm an anamorph.
I don't know, Sean Ashmore. Yeah.
Have a little bit of self-respect.
Yeah.
You're the leader.
You're like, you're telling the story. It's important that people know who you are.
That's a conviction.
So, I know we're not at list time yet, but there is a list that exists online called 14 Deeply Disturbing Animals Covers. And it's just picked out some of the images of the half-child, half-beast. And
there's 54 books.
Let me just...
Whoa! Hello. There's like a bee. What's this one?
Like some sort of half beaver
like
boy.
Beaver person?
Beaver boy. That's Labrador boy.
Like a Labrador man.
What is it?
Horse girl.
Oh, yeah, okay. Horse girl, that makes sense.
Sort of bison boy.
These kind of look like...
Bison
like
girl?
Early, like, Neanderthal sort of images.
And is that a grasshopper person?
Jesus, what is that?
Man.
We'll have to post this up because this
that's
is
a, that's going a list on page. Saying, yeah.
That's a bit.
It's also probably not great that we're looking at a picture and just people can listen
on,
to our reactions.
This audio medium.
It's like a play along at home. By the time this goes to air, you know, we will have posted this list.
Yeah. You will have presumably jumped on our Facebook
page.
Do
not listen to this episode without looking at this list. Look at the list. And it'll give you a good idea. If you don't know...
How are you going to know that? I don't know.
We'll work it out. Don't worry. We'll figure it out.
You know when you read... There are those books that you get the tape as well. You play the tape and it's like...
Right.
And the little tape, the tone would sound... Boom! And it's like, turn to page...
I'd forgotten 45. About those. Yeah.
Right. So it's like that.
Oh, okay. We're releasing one of those.
So, boom!
Release a book as well.
The list that we posted on our Facebook page.
All right, so we're sending out reading material.
Great. Listener Aaron.
Mm. All right, do we want to move on to the final episode of Animorphs?
I guess it's technically what we have to do.
The three-parter.
The Animorphs, after 24 whole episodes of morphing, decide they've earned a break and agree to head to the big dance, pairing off in an incestuous way that's only acceptable in high school.
No, five for me, you and Cassie.
Jake agrees to help Cassie take down a cosmetics company by becoming a defenseless spider monkey, and somehow their plan succeeds. Marco, who came to the rescue, is caught on tape by a local AV nerd, Harold, morphing from a dog to a Latino boy. Harold plans to send the tape into World's Weirdest Videos to make a cool 10K.
Hello? World's Weirdest Videos? I got a video for you.
The team unsuccessfully try to steal the tape back by masquerading as Star Trek characters, and now their only hope is to stop the broadcast. Meanwhile, Visa 3, the head of the Yerks, has yerked the local TV exec and plans to broadcast a show to brainwash all of humanity.
I'll give it another few minutes. I think you'll find yourself unable to turn it off.
The team stops the broadcast and plans to head to the dance, where the evil Yerks have rigged up the dance floor to collapse, dropping all the kids into a giant Yerk pool. The crafty Morphin crew evacuate the school with a tactical skunking, and some curly-haired bee character convinces them to have the dance anyway. Also, Tobias discovers his biological father is Elfangor from the first episode, despite him being a relatively normal, albeit moody teenager, in a leather jacket.
There's a bombshell.
Mm.
That's the bombshell. Did you hear it?
Tobias's
dad is a space centaur.
Can we talk about the logistics of this?
Yeah.
How?
I guess some sort of space centaur made love to a human female.
So,
and he picked up none of his father's traits.
There's two scenarios
unless
for this, right?
He morphed into a human.
Yeah. And then impregnated Tobias's mother, right?
Which would
make more sense, right?
But that says, so that would imply that when they morph, it changes their DNA completely to the point where they can procreate with the species that they've morphed into.
Well,
no adverse side effects.
Apart from the
fact that your offspring might be a little moody.
They are affected by...
Well, it's clearly a side effect, yeah.
They are affected by... Like, there is that scene in the first one where... I can't remember which character turns into the cat and the other and Mark
Rachel,
turns into the,
yeah.
Yeah, Rachel's the cat and Marco's the rat, and then Rachel's like animalistic brain
instinctually
tries to attack Marco.
Oh, it happens in the last one as well where Jake turns into a monkey and he like
bananas.
Yeah.
You'd think after, you know, 25 episodes they would have some self control in these scenarios.
Well, the other one is is it Rachel? Transforms into a lizard, and then she's like, oh, a fly. And then one of the other ones like, aren't you vegetarian? And then
which
eats a fly, and then transforms back into a human. It's like...
Yeah, which...
Spitting the fly out.
I feel like that's really pushing the bounds of vegetarianism. Eating a fly.
Yeah.
But like you said, Morgan, come on, kids. You've been doing this for a fucking long time now.
Just a long time in teen terms.
3 months or something.
Just figure it out. Yeah. Or at least like learn that you're not going to be in complete control and don't, transform yourself into a monkey and put yourself into a testing facility where you're going to be locked in a cage.
Mm.
It's not a very good show, really.
It's real
but
trash.
Like, interesting concept. Very interesting concept. There's an episode.
Is it?
I think so.
Mm.
Well, I mean, for the age bracket, I think so.
Fair enough.
It's like you do think about, like, I don't know, when you're a kid, you think about, you know, like, if you're an animal, what animal would you be? Like, it's like, what's your favorite color?
Okay.
You know?
What animal would you be, Scott?
This is a great question.
Mm.
I haven't thought about it too much.
Okay.
But this is on the proviso that I can turn into this animal for not more than 2 hours at a time.
Mm.
It's in the animorph rules.
What animal form could you get the most use out of in 2 hours?
Yeah. I feel like it would be something small. Like a fly or...
Flies live for 2 hours?
No, they live for like 24. But but being a fly, you're very vulnerable.
Are you though?
I don't think so. Hits you and you're fine.
Just don't fly near people's faces.
Nah, but you hit like a spider web or something like that, you're pretty screwed.
I'll just dodge it.
Flying spider webs.
I'm sure flies think that.
It's a fly with the mind of Scott.
Well, I'd rather be that than a spider. Because then people are like actively trying to, you know.
Unless you're
You wouldn't morph into the spider though. Like if someone said, yeah, you got to morph into a spider for an hour and 58 minutes, I'd just hide out for an hour and 58 minutes. Spider. Like hide in a roof. I'm hiding this roof until it's time, hour 58 comes up and I'm getting out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like a spider is a very marginalized species.
I wouldn't say.
You think we're unnecessarily racist towards spiders?
Well, I'm saying people go out of their way to kill spiders. Flies, not so much. Like it's just, you know, like you'd swat it, but it'd be fine.
Don't fly in my face. Two requests. I asked two things of you when you're a fly, Scott.
He doesn't ask for much. Two things. Right. Don't lay magnets in his brain. And
don't eat my living flesh.
You know, he's not asking for much.
Don't fly in my face.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I can do that.
In that three-part finale, they see Principal Chapman again, and is he still a brain slug or?
Yeah, he's still yerked.
He's yerked
to the gills.
He's still yerked because he seems to be like not. I don't know.
I think
hey kids, make sure you get on that dance floor so I can blow it up and you'll fall into this yerk ball.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, he's still yerking hard.
Which, can I say, this is one of the most underwhelming endings to a show that we've seen. Which, like, obviously, there's a certain element of, like, it's been cancelled. But has it, though?
Because they did a movie-length finale, so they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
This is all I could muster up.
But like the last thing that they do is like Rachel turns into a skunk and then evacuates everybody out of...
The death rattle of animals is like the most underwhelming finale.
Oh my God.
They had all the time in the world.
They had so much time to build it up and they just built it up with really unnecessary things. Like, animal rights and like stuff that's not relevant to the plot of the show.
I don't necessarily. I'm not sure whether I...
I would say, Scott.
I think it was canceled.
Preteens are easy to please. You can shovel any old crap into their mouths and they'll just gobble it up.
Obviously not Jez because it didn't work for Animorphs because it only lasted 2 seasons.
Yeah, but they probably still gets reruns.
Can we talk about Tobias just for a second? Because by the end of the show, him and Rachel are like dating or something. And he's just sort of like this, I guess this... You sort of see it in, unfortunately, kids' TV a fair bit, but also like just like young adult television, where it's just this guy who's just like really unreliable, real flaky, just not a great boyfriend. Basically, like he spends that entire episode just like blowing her off, just like, oh, do you want to go to the dance? He's like, nah, I can't go to the dance. I don't want to go to the dance, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, no. Like,
he's damaged, Scott.
He's a damaged character. He's damaged like Jan Michael Vincent. And then by the end of the episode, he like somehow comes to his senses and it's like, okay, well, they have a dance at the dance. He's just a shit boyfriend. And it just like glorifies this thing of like this like, oh, hard to lock down guy sort of thing. It's the worst. I hate seeing that shit in like, especially in like young adult shows where it's like, this is the kind of guy you should be going for. No, this guy's a dropkick.
So Nickelodeon is conditioning young people to like assholes.
Specifically young women.
He'll change for me. I'm just going to hang in there.
Yeah. He's a damaged guy. I got to change him. I got to like help him out.
So this is the problem.
15-year-old girls, listen to Scott. Aim higher.
Come on.
I see what you mean. Because he's the worst. He is the worst. And then he kind of half comes good at the end. And,
yeah. And like, I don't care if you got an Andalite dad. Just like do good by your friends.
You've been raised in a human world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what would Keanu Reeves do?
I mean, Keanu Reeves would probably do something like
that.
Exactly. Which is true to character, so...
Live your life by Keanu Reeves' rule. Look, honestly, if it was me, I'd I'd become a bird, fly to Richard Dean Anderson and ask him, what do I do here?
Mm. Fair enough. That's a logical thing to do.
Dad would help me out.
He would.
You reckon you'd fly to Richard Dean Anderson in 2 hours?
Yeah, I probably could.
Take a break.
How far away? I don't know where Dean Anderson lives, but I guess he can
sort of unmorph and then morph
real
back.
Quick.
What a stupid rule to place around it. 2 hours.
Does it mean something?
How much of the artificial tension in the show was around this sort of arbitrary 2 hours?
I was going to say, it's a very arbitrary time.
Every time they go on a mission, it's like, oh shit, oh, we've got to do it in 2 hours.
Mm.
That's the only tension.
Yeah, and it's very present in the final episode, for sure.
Let me just tie a bow on this. And speaking of tying a bow, open Aaron's little present from the Scandinavian.
Mm. You're going a little off book here.
Do you want to do that before the reboot?
Yeah. Oh shit, reboots! We haven't even done reboots.
The listeners aren't going to know what's going on.
Well,
I think we give it a crack and jump into making this show. Maybe a little bit better.
I completely forgot. So much pressure from the list. The thought of having to do the list is just weighed on my mind.
I have a reboot for this.
Hmm.
But I believe, Jeremy, you had one as well.
Jeremy, please, take us away.
So the premise is four household pets who are, I guess, friends.
Mm-hmm.
As much as pets can be friends.
Yeah.
Stumble across some sort of spaceship crashing in an abandoned sort of, whatever it was in Animorphs. An abandoned, like, I don't know, wheat factory or something.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
Desalinization plant.
Yeah, well, there's lots of abandoned desal plants. They're all...
True.
In Victoria, at least. Some sort of space horse comes down from this crashed spaceship,
mm-hmm.
and the four pets sort of, you know, row, 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 meow, you know, make pet noises because they can't talk.
Yeah.
And then the Andalite, through the power of telepathy, tells them that just put your little paws or whatever on this cube.
Little hoof.
And you'll have the power to turn into whatever man... you can touch to fight the Yerks.
Yeah.
So it's called Manimorphs. But the twist is, much like in Animorphs, when they turn into the animal, they sort of, their brain begins to sort of, it's predominantly them, but then there's like
some element
animal traits coming through. Uh-huh. So when they turn into the human, it's predominantly their animal brain.
Mm.
With a few traits of the human coming through.
Okay.
So, like, I'm like a house cat who goes and touches Morgan.
Yep.
So, I'm a Morgan-shaped house cat with a few tinges of Morgan's personality. So...
I like where this is going.
Yeah. Mm. So, like, I'll be sort of licking myself on the couch as you, and then, like, someone will come along and I'll run off, scurry into the corner, and I'll be like, ah, shit, wait.
Ah!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Manimorphs, you know, it's just like the inverse.
Okay.
Manimorphs.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm gathering from this.
Okay, I get it.
Mm. But, I guess in this version of the show, a lot of the tension would come out of how the animal's going to touch the humans.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I can see it's a bit of a...
A lot easier for like a human to touch an animal. Yeah. But
and I feel like the Andalites really dropped the ball by going to the pets rather than the humans. But that's
This is one of the shitter Andalites.
You get what you're given.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta roll with the punches.
So, like, are you as one of those animals? Are you trying to search for specific humans in order to touch to morph into? Like,
well, it depends what you need to fulfill your mission of defeating the Yerks.
Mm. So, if you need like a, let's say, David Hasselhoff-esque person, then you...
No, if you need to like go out on like a jet ski and rescue some broad, then yeah.
Mm. Not a Richard Dean Anderson type coffin jet ski.
Maybe if you need to like MacGyver your way out of something, you'd probably go up to a Richard Dean Anderson. But remember, you're Richard Dean Anderson with a dog brain. Manimorphs.
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 I like it. Simple, elegant.
I like it.
Elegant. Simple, yes.
Oh boy. Morgan, what do we got?
Well, okay, I'm just going to preface this with it's not too far removed from my
Jan Michael Vincent.
My Airwolf one. So
yeah, okay.
As you guys know, and you may as well put your hand on the shoehorn button there.
Here we go.
Scott,
I'm ready.
This one involves Nicolas Cage. All right, now we got that.
Sorry, I just thought I'd give it a couple extra.
Yeah, well, fair
enough. Worth more than one.
So
what's Travolta worth if Cage is worth that much?
Oh, don't worry, I'll roll him out.
Travolta would still.
I'll roll him out when I'm ready.
It'd take us through to the end of the episode.
The end of the year.
So anyway, so following similar storyline to what you've just discussed there, Jez. Mm-hmm. That, you know, five teenagers.
Ah, so they're just, it's a bunch of animals that turn into men.
Yeah, pretty much. Five kids, they stumble across a crashed alien ship. Nicolas mm-hmm. Cage rolls out, and yep. but
he's the alien.
Yeah, but he rolls out. But this is like back in like
hey, 80,
81. He's like, I have to be in every single movie in the world.
It's a good one. I like that.
Thanks.
I like that.
So
working on it.
So Nick Cage just kind of is like, oh, I need you to turn into me, so touch every side of this cube. And so they touch the sides of the cube and they uh-huh. become Nicolas Cage. So he has to try and be in every single movie possible. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, another spaceship has crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And this time Samuel L. Jackson rolls out. And I can't do a Samuel L. Jackson, so I'm not even going to try. Mm-hmm. He rolls out and does the same thing. But, you know.
Hey, kids!
Hey, kids! Oh, no, I'm not doing it.
He yells a lot.
Yeah, he yells a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, they deserve. No, that's Jack Nicholson.
That was kind of close.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, does the same thing, but basically he's trying to stop Nicolas Cage from being in roles. So, but rather than trying to kill these other kids, basically they try and block Nicolas Cage by being in movies so he can't be in movies.
Because they can't both be in the movies.
No, of course not. So it's
they vie for very similar roles.
Pretty much.
They
so, do. So it's like it's a high school
unhinged guy.
It's a high school in LA, and there are these two different groups of teenagers are trying to like block each other from being in movies. So like they like you know they morph into Nicolas Cages and try and get into roles, and then these other guys morph in. So he'll be like auditioning for five roles at once, and then these like versions of Samuel Jackson will be trying to block him by auditioning for the same roles. It's like a. It's a duke it out. And
this is a very realistic scenario.
With a bunch of kids doing their bidding of the respective...
Of Cage and Jackson, yeah.
A-minus actors.
Yeah, and anyway, so they're basically trying to get in... They're basically trying to get in every single movie possible.
Mm.
And Jackson's trying to stop Cage from doing it. And so Jack... But, you know, it's called Cagemorphs, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming to a theatre new
movie. Why not Samomorphs?
I think you could. Yeah, you could do both.
You could do more. You could do both.
Depending from which side of the coin you're looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about doing Jacksonomorphs, but it doesn't sound as good as Cagemorphs.
Yeah, Samomorphs.
Samomorphs is a bit. You could go either way. We just call it Actomorphs.
This is
Actomorphs is probably good.
Actomorphs is good.
This is a reboot that I would believe exists in real life because both of those gentlemen are in so many films.
They're in a lot of stuff. They got a large catalog.
It's insane.
So technically, not a reboot.
Just I feel like you could lump in Christopher Walken in as well if you really wanted to.
Well, you could. You really could.
A third crash that happens.
Is he as prolific as the other two?
I don't think he is.
I mean, he doesn't say no to anything. That's true. For sure.
Can he probably just doesn't get offered as much.
Can you give us a Christopher Walken? Considering I did The Cage.
Hello.
That's pretty good.
It's me, Christopher Walken.
A Triceratops.
That's all I got.
Okay, that's good.
It's mostly the hello. That's the main thing in my repertoire. No.
I don't know the Walken as well as my Cages. Cage is where I yeah.
Yeah. That's your bread and butter.
That's my bread and butter, yeah.
Cagemorphs.
Cagemorphs.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Cagemorphs. Actomorphs is what we've changed it to.
Actomorphs?
Actomorphs.
Actomorphs. Makes sense.
Actomorphs.
It's logical. All right. Reboots. Tick those off.
They're the reboots.
So from the faraway land of Europe, Aaron has gifted us
Europe?
Another list.
Is there a soft H on the front of Europe?
Yeah, Europe.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
You interesting.
Sometimes pronounce it. That list did not work. So I don't know the list that he actually sent us because I can't open the link.
What? What do you mean?
I can't open the link.
I had the same issue.
Oh, Aaron. Dear
idea. Dead link.
So,
have you found
an alternative?
Is an alternative list called Ted Mosby's Girlfriends.
Okay.
Crazy hot women Ted Mosby dated before he met your mother.
Okay.
And guess who's on the list?
Brooke Nevin.
Brooke Nevin. Makes it in at 19 of 21.
21. Okay.
Ted Mosby got 21.
So hang on. We're talking about Ted Mosby's a fictional character.
Yes. Yes.
So are these fictional girlfriends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These
These are girlfriends.
It would make sense for real people to date a fictional person, Scott.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, is it the actor who played Ted Mosby, Josh, whatever his name is?
21 girlfriends.
Yeah, Josh.
That show ran for like, well, it was an 8-year run. But one season set in like across the weekend.
And Kobe Smulders is...
His girlfriend for a solid two
one
seasons.
One season set across a weekend.
Yeah, the last one.
Ah, I never watched the last season.
I did.
So Mosby's laying some serious pipe. he's getting into the, like, the Animorphs, like the sort of... Like the...
He's, do you reckon he's
the B-level television from the 90s?
Do you reckon do we reboot How I Met Your Mother and Animorphs to Mosby Morphs? And it's like he's convinced a bunch of teenagers to morph into himself so we can date additional people. Maybe not teenagers. Let's accelerate.
Yeah, maybe
out of that.
Late teenagers. 18, 19.
Yeah.
Age of consent. We don't want a lawsuit on our hands.
I may have been ham-fisted my approach there, but you see what I was alluding to.
Your heart was in the right place.
Yeah, it was. Yes. It was in the right place.
Yeah.
Can't question my heart. If we did that, maybe that works. 21 girlfriends in like 4 years?
21. So, hang on. So, is this person made a list that is people that... Ted Mosby should have dated before he met your mother, or like should have
by Al Dove,
but this isn't people who are in How I Met Your Mother.
No, they would be.
Brooke Nevin was in it.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So what was it? What girlfriend did she play?
She was Brooke Nevin.
Lal, come on, give me a real answer. Does it have the
no?
It doesn't. That's weird.
She was just one of the girlfriends, I guess.
This isn't a very thorough list.
So it's just, well, I don't know. I'm not as good as Aaron. So what do you want me to say, all right? I'm trying my best. It's a crap list, all right? Brooke Nevin's a crap actress. I don't know what you want. It's hard. There's no lists about Marco. It's just like lists of shitty personal trainers that you shouldn't go to in the broader LA area. Marco. Mm. Anyways, yeah, so that's what I've got.
Ah, all right, okay. Mm. I've looked up the episode that she was in, just to go back to the list.
Turns out Morgan's better than this than I am.
He's an IMDb pro.
Well, I know Morgan,
but I guess you want to piss all over his statement.
It's the episode, the name's called Say Cheese, but I remember the episode, it's where Ted brings, so Brooke Nevin, the girlfriend, he's the new girl that Ted's just started dating, and he brings her to Lily's birthday, and Lily gets annoyed because... All the birthdays Ted brings a girl, and they never last. So there's all these random women within their like significant like milestones of the group.
Oh, there's like photos of all the different.
Yeah, it's like you dated this girl, this girl, this girl, this time, this time, and then
that's what I mean. Ted's laid a lot of pipe.
Too much for any man.
I feel like he's probably got syphilis.
That's the end of the show. That's the real season finale.
Mm-hmm. Dies of acute syphilis.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that alternate ending.
It's not good.
So wait,
it's him in a hospital bed
and Bob
screaming in pain.
What happens to Bob Saget?
Who narrates the whole thing?
So Bob Saget's like, it's kind of like
he dies as well. Morgan, the same person.
No, it's a bit like have you ever seen that movie, that Netflix movie, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, about Doug Kenny?
Yes.
And like Doug Kenny, the older version of Doug Kenny is narrating it, but it turns out Doug Kenny dies. Spoiler alert. But Doug Kenny dies.
Usually you say it before.
Yeah. No, I know, but
the guy who wrote National Lampoon's died in like the 90s.
Oh, okay.
It was more like the 80s.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's a bit like that.
Hmm. No.
Where it's a story device.
So I don't know, Morgan.
Bob Saget's...
We're just riffing on an alternate version of How I Met Your Mother where Ted Mosby dies of syphilis. I haven't thought about this.
I'm just trying to flesh it out a little bit more. I like to know.
Aaron, I'm sorry your segment's gone down the toilet. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
At least if he ever gets back from Sweden, he knows where to squarely point the blame. And it's at you.
Yeah, we can't. Well, it's on me. It's
well,
dead
obviously
link.
You.
It's a dead link.
We're dead
she
link.
Hit the fan.
Oh, like, okay, so if I try and access that, you're telling me I couldn't find it.
You tried to access it. You said it before.
I did said no such thing.
I feel like I'm on trial here.
All right.
It's Aaron's fault.
It's all the yelling and screaming. I've sort of picked up on it now. I've just really heightened, and I want to yell back at you and point. And...
It's fine. It's got higher levels.
Pretty hot. Coming in hot.
Coming hot.
I think the listeners have turned down by this point, at least a couple of notches.
Singular.
Sorry, listener. All right. So that's our list for the week. Sorry if it was a touch disappointing. Yeah. If it wasn't exactly what you had in mind. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
It was a garbage list.
About Ted Mosby for far longer than we should have been.
Well, often when we go off book the way we did, it generally means the show was garbage. And Animorphs definitely falls into that
category.
That's
pretty good. So are you saying that you will not be going back to watch it
anymore? I don't plan on it.
Blowing the dust off his giant rubber garbage stamp and being ready to sort of slap it on the 240p version of the Animorphs finale that we watched.
I'll stop you there, Jez. There is no dust on my garbage stamp. Yeah, it is well oiled. Very fresh and very ink-filled constantly, and I'm slamming it hard on top of that.
Also, can I say that 240p for the version that we watched is generous.
That is generous.
I think it was probably very about 15p. pixels.
It was very difficult to watch. I'm surprised that we were able to work out that was Paolo Costanzo. Like, oh my God, that guy's in stuff.
Oh yeah, look at him. I can't tell any of the emotions that he's conveying.
No, I definitely could not.
The general shape of the man.
But you could tell based on the pixels, the way they were interacting, that it was a TV show of some description and the characters were interacting in some way.
Mm.
That's what I could discern from the pixels.
You should write like a recommendation on the cover for Animorphs.
Well, I will.
Something certainly happened.
No one else is going to do it. No. But I can safely say that I will not be revisiting this show and watching the other 21 episodes that we didn't see.
No, and we watched...
We watched so many
of them.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's almost like 20% of the show.
It's too much.
I think we've learned our lesson. We've learned our lesson here.
Well, no, we haven't, because this will happen again. I tell you what we've learned is that Jez is not allowed to suggest shows anymore.
That's fair.
You permanently benched yourself.
I'm going to sit the next few out, I think.
I think you should.
All right. It's just me, just Morgan and I.
This three-man weave. It started off with a lot of fun. I mean, Aaron, we miss him, but it started off with a lot of fun when we were doing, you know, do you guys remember back when we did Airwolf? How good was that?
So long ago. Feels like...
Those were the times.
3 hours ago.
And now we're doing Animorphs and it's just a dragon. Jess is just launching Ted Mosby list at us and they make no sense.
Come back, Aaron.
Yeah, come back, Aaron. We miss you. But look, I think we should probably leave it there because I can't talk about Animorphs anymore.
Yeah. Everything that could have been said has been said.
I completely agree. Scott, where can people find us on the online?
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. You can check out all of our other episodes. I think we've actually got quite a few now. I think this is episode 42.
It's got the back catalogue. A couple of years of production now. It's really tracking along nicely.
Yeah, actually. And I think this is sort of difficult because we record and then we release, you know, like a couple of weeks later. So we're on a bit of a delay. But I think we're over our 2-year anniversary.
I believe we are.
By the time
this
comes out. Maybe even the last episode that came out will be past that. In fact, I'm almost sure that it would have been. So, congratulations, boys.
Yeah, way to go, guys. And it's back to the original crew. We've been trying to weed out Aaron for a good 2 years and we finally did it.
We finally convinced him to move to Sweden.
Exactly. That's all it took.
Yeah.
Just set him up over there.
That's all we had to do. Jeremy, where can people find us? That isn't our website.
On The Incomplete Online. Series on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Instagram, The Incomplete Series. Podcast TIS on...
Twitter.
On Google+.
All right.
Yeah.
We're in a Google+ account.
We do now.
Oh, we do.
Twitter, dead medium.
Is a dead medium. Yep. No one really uses that.
TheIncompleteSeries.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Maybe write an angry comment about how there's not much content, you know?
Can we just quickly mention...
Post that to our Facebook.
We did have a little bit of interaction on our Twitter account. As much as we do discount our Twitter account, we did get a bit of interaction from Twitter user Yensid98, who I think is somebody who lives in Hollywood, maybe, who was saying, FYI, there was no CGI in Beauty and the Beast and only a handful of CGI effects in Star Trek The Next Generation. Both the pilot and the finale of Next Generation... didn't use CGI, although the HD remasters may have added a few CGI effects. I do want to clarify, just quickly, I think we conflate the terms CGI and visual effects.
Yeah.
Visual effects. So, that's probably our bad, maybe. I don't know. I think you're probably right to call us out on it.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck him.
Look, like, I appreciate the interaction, but
yeah,
you know,
hey.
I think he's splitting hairs. I think
at this point. But hey, we love fan interaction. Yeah. We love the fact that you're listening to the show.
You know what? I hope he swings back at us, because I'm gonna swing back at him if he does.
Yeah, you want an ongoing dialogue?
I would like an ongoing dialogue. Jez, you want to swing back at him?
Have a swing.
Yeah, I might touch your head, turn into you, and we can both punch him as Morgan.
That'd be very confronting.
Yeah. I would like that. I didn't know you were an animal.
Mm. Well, I've kind of kept it to myself.
I thought you were going to say you don't know me.
I haven't seen how the animals have been received in this episode, and I'm just kind of thinking maybe I should have kept it to myself, you know?
Potentially, yeah.
Possibly. Well, if you want to reach out to us and debate the semantics of our language that we use on the podcast...
Please do. We encourage it.
You can add us at podcast.tis.
Get around
us. Tell
us
what you think.
Exactly.
We'd love to hear your suggestions.
No
and
holds bar.
What's going on?
Mm. Anyway, maybe just leave things there and we can leave Animorphs in the dust, as I would very much like to do. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Aaron.
Whoa.
Boom.